Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back into The Drive. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Very, very great hour we just had with Dana Hughes and Mitch Holthus. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast page, 610sports.com, and also the Odyssey app. We led the show with this, and I don't know if you guys have kept up with the news or not today, and I certainly understand. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets, and we're not going to talk basketball here, so you don't got to run to the dial here. But when we were talking to Dane and we were talking to Mitch about what makes the Chiefs special and what makes Kansas City special and why they've been able to have the amount of success that they've had, they have created a foundation of community. They have created culture, camaraderie. They have created those things that the Chiefs might not be the most talented team in the league. Like, you could argue that Philadelphia is more talented player for player than Kansas City. But I think you would be very, very hard-pressed to find an organization that is as together and as organized as Kansas City, that over the course of the last few years, we've seen a lot of these teams haphazardly thrown together. The Brooklyn Nets, hey, we've got this good basketball player. Yeah, he's cool with this good basketball player. Hey, we'll bring one of our buddies here, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, we've seen those teams put together in the NFL. You remember that Eagles dream team that was put together? We've seen Washington do this. Hey, let's just go out and let's spend a lot of money in free agency, and let's try to put together a team that we think has a chance to really do something special. It's a lot deeper than that. It's not that simple. The Brooklyn Nets have all the talent in the world. Kevin Durant's one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. Kyrie, amazing. They've got a lot of great players. It's been obvious, if you keep up with the NBA, that the Brooklyn Nets at no point have all been pushing in the exact same direction. It's always a lot of noise with them. The Chiefs, very, very different. And the Chiefs run a system and an organization that if you get out of line really in any way, you will find yourself on another team. Think about Marcus Peters and how great of a player Marcus Peters was and how great of a ball hawk he was and turning teams over. Marcus Peters is one of the best corners we've ever seen at taking the football away. There reached a point in Kansas City that we're not moving forward this way. We're not doing this anymore. You're a great player. We appreciate you. We love you. But we're just not going to do that. Like, you don't fit into the climate and the culture that we've created here in Kansas City. And I think it's best in your best interest to move on. I think about what we've learned more about Tyreek Hill since he's been traded and the podcast and the back and forth and some of the attitude. The Chiefs did a really good job in sort of keeping those things in-house with Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill has said himself that he was complaining to his agent about targets. Like, normally if you're upset about how much you're touching the football, guys on your team know. And the fact that the Chiefs have been able to keep a lot of that stuff in-house and keep everything together and not let any of that deter them from the amount of winning that they've done over the last 5 years speaks really high volume to the kind of coach that they have, the kind of quarterback, and the kind of culture that has been created. There's a lot of talented players at this level. You don't get to this level if you're not talented. But I think we see that there are a lot of players in situations that are ultimately more trouble than they're worth. and you're willing to take a guy who's a little less in the talent department for a guy that is going to buy into your system. So when we talk about next man up with the Kansas City Chiefs, it's really a buying in to what they do here. How many times have we heard coaches talk about needing the buy-in and getting everybody on board with their program, what the philosophy is and what the system is? And the teams that lose, that is normally a issue. It's hard to win at this level. It's really hard if you got 90% buy-in or 95% buy-in. And one thing you can say pretty definitively about the Chiefs is for the last 5 years, everybody has understood their role. Everybody has known how to execute their role. And they have a culture of, hey, if the next man goes down, we have a guy in place that is ready to fulfill that role, and nothing will take us off the path that we have. That is not the case for a lot of teams in the National Football League. We all spend a lot of time mocking the Los Angeles Chargers. There's going to be adversity that happens over the course of the season, a holding call, a guy gets injured. Those things derail the Chargers' season every single year. It is a very different situation in Kansas City and what they've built. And when I hear this story from Frank Clark, I think he explains really well what's been built here in Kansas City.
I love him because of the man he is first, you know, not the coach, the man he is. And I feel like if you know him from that standpoint, you'll be able to attest to what I'm saying. A lot of guys know him as a coach, and they only see the coach side of him. I've actually been fortunate enough to see the other side of him, where I've had a lot of conversations with him, you know, from that standpoint, and just, you know, helping me become a better father, helping me understand life a little bit more and some of my tougher situations that I have to endure over the last 2 years. And just sticking by me, you know, understanding that, you know, guys do have, you know, some bad times. Guys do, you know, F up sometimes, but, you know, sometimes you got to have, you know, those guys there. You know, it's the guys there for those guys that mess up, you know, are just important, you know, for me. And for him, I mean, for me, having Coach Reed there, you know, was big, you know, because my father, man, he passed a few years ago, you know what I'm saying? I lost my father in the house fire a few years ago. So, you know, the father figures, you know, are thereof have lacked at times, you know what I mean? And having a guy like that, you know, I spend a lot of time with Coach, you know what I mean? We spend, 70% of our week we at the building. You know, we ain't here from 8 in the morning to 6 at night sometimes, you know, in campus even longer. So I spent a lot of time with Andy, and we've grown. We have a great relationship. So you know, the things we ever talk about on the record and things we talked about off the record have shaped our relationship, and you know, brung us so close, man. Feel like I'm able to talk about anything, and just, you know, winning that game, man, was, you know, one of those things. We kind of pissed it off the second year together. You know what I mean? We lost the, you know, out in Tampa Bay last year. You know, Bengals came in, got rid of us, and you know, just to be able to get back. You know, my fourth year here is just dope.
I know many of you have this story. A lot of the people that we work for don't really understand that it's people. Like, we're all people. We have hopes, dreams, fears. There's things we want. There's things we want to accomplish. We have goals, aspirations. Like, we're all human in all of this. And we've all heard the way that coaches talk about football players. And they talk about them as commodities. They talk about them solely as football players. There's always going to be a disconnect when you are trying to lead and motivate people if you don't see the humanity in them. Now, one thing I think we can say pretty emphatically about Andy Reid and what we've heard former players and current players say is that Andy seems to understand that with them. Andy seems to understand that people are going to make mistakes. You get a gun charge. Something happens from time to time. All right, well, how do we figure this out? How do we work together as a team, as a family, to move forward from this? How can I help you be the best version of you? And one reason why the Chiefs are such a successful organization is because Andy is really good at connecting people. I know many of you haven't been inside an NFL locker room, but if you ever go in there, it's segregated in a lot of different ways. Here's the positions. Here's certain races. Like, you got to figure out a way to bring all of these people together from very different backgrounds, very different education points. You got to figure out a way to get all of these different people from different economic classes, different religions. You got to figure out a way to get 53 individuals all who have been the man wherever they just came from. Everybody was the best player on their high school team. Everybody was a really productive college football player. You got to figure out a way to get all of those people on the same page, working together, pushing in the same direction, all for the same common goal. It's not about you making the Pro Bowl. It's not about you being an All-Pro. It's not about you hitting incentives. It's about doing whatever we can individually to help us win a Super Bowl. And the best way that you do that is by connecting with them on a human level. And that is one of the reasons that Andy Reid is one of the greatest coaches that we have ever seen, because he just seems to understand that. And Frank Clark just told you, hey, I went through a lot of stuff. I lost my father in a house fire. We know about some of this off-the-field stuff with Frank Clark. Coach Reid has always been there for me, always a person that I can talk to. And when you feel that way about your boss, you want to go the extra mile. You want to do more. You don't want to let that person down. And I think you see that in the way that Frank Clark plays, especially when it's time to turn it on. I know we get our jokes off about regular season Frank Clark, and let's not kid ourselves. He has not lived up to it from a regular season standpoint, but that is not how Frank Clark is defined. Frank Clark is defined by this time of the season, and can you elevate your play to help the Chiefs win and help them get over the hump? And he's done that. I want to play one more cut for you guys in case you missed it. This was Dana Hughes, and we'll get to the hits here coming up momentarily. Here was Dana on what makes Andy Reid such a special coach.
In playing for Marty Schottenheimer, what I do remember oftentimes is statements that he would make, like, I'll take the best, at that time it was 46-man roster, I need the best 46 people, and I'll make them football players. And not every coach can do that. And I think we talked about this earlier when we first came on about how special this organization is and the leadership downhill. When I look at Andy Reid and I look at how he interacts with the players and how the players are engaged to him, that's different leadership than, you know, we've seen coaches, we've seen parents, we've seen, you know, teachers where you don't get eye contact when you talk to them. You know, they're hemming and hawing behind your back. And, you know, that's different. That's not what we have here. And so when I look at Andy Reid and I see how he engages with the players, how, you know, everybody is like, you know, connected to him, like the atmosphere, the ambiance of this organization and this locker room is just different.
I can't really undersell it, man. Your number one job as a coach is not to come up with the best out-of-bounds play. Your responsibility as a coach is not to fully understand the X's and O's. You got to figure out a way to communicate with people. You got to figure out a way to connect people, and that's what separates you. That's what separates you. And that's what makes Andy Reid one of the greatest coaches that we have ever seen. Rob thinks that we're about to do the hits and talk about sports, you know, the top sports stories of the day. I want to give Rob one more opportunity to apologize for the way that he has brought down this show today. I work tirelessly to try to deliver the best sports content for you guys. And then sometimes, you know, we like to have a little bit of fun, you know? It really hurts me to feel like my brother, one of my good friends, somebody I care about, somebody I love, and Rob Brenton, tries to unravel all of that hard work. I mean, I've been this way too. I'm a consumer of sports talk. The host says something I don't like. What is this guy talking about? And I turn it off, get frustrated. You guys have probably done that to me. You've heard me say something. Carrington's an idiot. And you turn the music. I've done it before. You did this when you heard Rob say this, didn't you?
I think Philadelphia's like the only city in the world that's claim to fame food you could argue is better than KC barbecue.
Whoa.
Could argue.
Somebody listening heard Rob say that and vowed to never listen to the show again. Rob's responsibility is to produce winning content for this show. He's the producer. His job is to help me produce winning content for you guys. Not to give divisive statements that fracture our audience. We're fighting for every listener we can. You know the competition that's out there. Our competitor across the dial, a tough opponent. Podcast, Spotify. It's tough. We're fighting for every ear that we can. And Rob is trying to turn people away.
I think Philadelphia's like the only city in the world that's claim to fame food you could argue is better than KC barbecue.
Whoa.
Could argue.
Rob, I want you to denounce these statements. That's what I want you to do. I want you right now at 5:15 before we talk about sports, and I give you my list. We're doing the hits a little different today. I've got five early Super Bowl thoughts that I want to share today for the hits. But before we do that, I want you to apologize. We're heading into our most important week of the entire year. There is no more important week than we will have the next week. Bigger than opening day, bigger than the Big 12 tournament, bigger than the first week of football next season. It's Super Bowl week. We're going to have new ears, new listeners. We might have a chance to steal some listeners and maybe win for a change. I can't do that with you doing this kind of stuff. I can't carry you anymore. You know, I just talked about Andy Reid and connecting people. I'm at to disconnect you. That's not the kind of program that we're going to be. Hot takes. It's not what I'm about. So I want you to denounce this right now in the 5 o'clock hour.
I think Philadelphia's like the only city in the world that's claim to fame food you could argue is better than KC barbecue.
Whoa.
Could argue.
I want you to apologize to me. I want you to apologize to every single person listening. I want you to apologize to Donna Kelsey. I want you to apologize to the CEO of Hallmark. I want you to apologize to the guy that started Joe's KC, Ollie Gates. That's what I want you to do right now. I want you to apologize to Bud Lathrop's family. I want you to apologize to all of those people right now before we move forward in the 5 o'clock hour.
I want this on the record. I think Kansas City barbecue is better than the Philly cheesesteak. I believe that. But I believe it is 1 in 1A among NFL cities' signature foods. Think about the NFL cities and their signature foods. You got, in San Francisco, you got chocolate. In Seattle, you got coffee. Definitely worse than barbecue. In Chicago, you got deep dish pizza. I don't want your fake lasagna. No thank you. Pass. In New York, you got a New York-style slice. That's a good piece of pizza. Barbecue is better. In Buffalo, you got the buffalo wings. Barbecue is better. There is only one city in the world where I think to myself, it is actually a competition. It's actually a back and forth. This isn't a boat race. And that's the Philadelphia Philly. I still prefer a burn-ins. I prefer some brisket. I prefer the Z-Man with fries to the Philly. But I think if you were to say, hey, the Philly is really good, and I think I'm craving a Philly, I'll pass on barbecue today. I don't think that's an outlandish take. It is the only specialty food in an NFL city that can compete on the level with barbecue can.
I hope the next time you go to KCI, I hope you get stopped. I hope you get randomly searched. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. I want you to randomly get searched at the new terminal. I hope the search is so long you miss your flight. That's what I hope. That's what I want right now. I want that for you. I'm putting that evil on you. I want that. I want you to wear it. I want you and your girl to be planning on going on a nice trip. We're taking a couple days off, and I hope you get randomly searched at KCI. Because what you just said upsets me. It upsets my family. The text line is saying that's not an apology. I didn't hear an apology either. You know what? I'm going to be a professional here. Because that's what somebody has to be professional on this show. Somebody has to. It's a tough job. It's a tough job, but I will be the professional one. Somebody on the text line makes a great point that you can get a steak and cheese sandwich at Subway or Jimmy John's.
I mean, to be fair,
I don't disagree.
You can get barbecue in Brooklyn. That doesn't make it barbecue. You can get a Philly cheesesteak at Subway. That doesn't make it not trash, all right? If we're going to play this game, there's also barbecue subs at Quiznos, and we know they stink.
Just hit the hits.
The Hits, getting you caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City on your drive home from work, number one.
Well, no matter how we do the hits, Carrington, before we get to your five game points, remember the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio repair in Kansas City since 1967.
You know what? I'm going to take care of the hits today because I don't trust you right now. in order for us to be a team, there has to be trust, and I don't trust you right now. I'm not sure if I pass you the ball if you can score. You might throw it out of bounds. You might try to continue to sabotage this show as you have done in the 5 o'clock hour. You upset me. Let's start with this. I might actually need you for this. Has Philadelphia played one great quarterback this year? Because I hear a lot of talk about their defense, and I'm not saying that their defense is not good. Their defense is good. Their defense is one of the best defenses in the league. Can I read to you the quarterbacks that they've played this season? Can I just read you the list? Cooper Rush, Kenny Pickett, Davis Mills, Taylor Heineke, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, Justin Fields, Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, Josh Johnson, and Daniel Jones three separate times. Did you guys hear elite quarterbacks in there? I didn't hear Patrick Mahomes in that list. I didn't hear Josh Allen on that list. I didn't hear Joe Burrow on that list. I didn't hear Justin Herbert on that list. Who's the best quarterback they've gone up against this year? You tell me who it is. It's looking real shaky, my man. Real shaky.
Is it Dak? I mean,
yeah, or Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but that was pre got yeah, fixed Trevor like Lawrence. Four. That was week four, Trevor
that
Lawrence.
Week four.
That was still Urban's Trevor Lawrence. That wasn't Doug's yet.
Two.
I'm gonna go number two here for the hits of things that I think heading into the Super Bowl. Rob, I really like the over in this game. I think that both teams are going to score. This is why. I don't think that Kansas City has gone up against an offense like Philadelphia. You can maybe say San Francisco is the probably closest team I think they've played. But Jimmy Garoppolo is in nearly the rushing threat that Jalen Hurts is. So the RPO is just going to be very different. Also, Christian McCaffrey in that game, you remember, he got traded on Thursday, played on Sunday, very limited in his usage in the game. I made the point to Mitch earlier, and Mitch said, what about Buffalo? Well, Miles Sanders is a better running back than the other option for Buffalo. So I would say Philadelphia's run game is superior to them as well. I also think that Philadelphia just has better receivers as well. So I think from an offensive standpoint, Kansas City's defense hasn't seen nearly the test that I think they're going to see with Philly's offense. And I would say the exact same thing for Philly's defense, and we just talked about it with Patrick Mahomes and the kind of quarterback that he is going up against that Philadelphia defense. This feels like a 31-27 game to me. This feels like a game that I think it's going to take a little bit for both teams kind of feeling each other out. And I think the first half to this game, we're going to see a lot of points in offense because neither team's going to be able to slow the other side down. It's actually been three consecutive Super Bowls in which the under has hit. I like the over in this game.
Three.
My number three is going to be Rob. I think this is the week that the turnover differential is the most important. Philadelphia this year was number one in turnovers this year. They were best at intercepting the football, and they did a really good job protecting the ball. This is not a team that you can afford to have two turnovers against. If you have two turnovers against, you do not find yourself on the winning side of the scoreboard. I think ball security, ball protection is at the utmost importance against this football team because of the style that they play. So their run style can take possessions away from you and shorten the game in that component. And they also have the ability to take the ball away and really make you pay for those mistakes. I preach the turnover differential because the team that wins a turnover battle wins 70% of NFL games. I don't know if there has been a game, aside from the Super Bowl component, you can maybe get away with being undisciplined in some ways against Cincinnati because of how bad their offensive line is at times, or Buffalo because of how you can really force them to be one-dimensional. I don't know if you can do some of those things against this team and win. I think the turnover differential is going to be of peak importance in the Super Bowl next week.
Real quick on that point, let me ask, is that any different than any game, though? Because I would say against the Jags or the Chargers or – you know, insert Team X winning the turnover battle. I'm not saying it's not important this week, but I think that one is kind of an evergreenish. That's just kind of how, and the Chiefs are bad at it on top of that.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. Just Philadelphia is the best at it. You know, like, this is the best team at taking the football away. That's why I included it. But I would not disagree with you. My last one's going to be, I know we're up against it, Rob. I think this game is largely defined by Frank Clark. If Frank Clark plays really well next week, on Monday, we are planning a parade. If you don't hear from Frank Clark and he has two tackles, doesn't have a sack, doesn't have a tackle for loss, doesn't have a significant impact on the game, I think it's going to be really difficult for Kansas City to win that game. Kansas City beat Cincinnati, A, because they have the best quarterback in the world, but B, because their defensive line won battles fairly consistently. You got five sacks. You forced a couple of intentional groundings. You really blew up some screens. Their defensive line was incredibly active. I think the matchup that will define this game is Philadelphia's offensive line going up against Kansas City's defensive line. And if the Chiefs can neutralize that advantage and they can still get pressure and hit Jalen Hurts a couple of times as he was top five in sacks given up this year, I think Kansas City is going to have a chance to really defend this team, and I think that's a game that they can win. We'll keep talking Super Bowl 57 on the other side. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We were going over just some early thoughts I have about the Super Bowl. I think the numbers on Philly's defense are inflated. They weren't tested against great quarterbacks. I don't care how great your defense is on paper. It is ultimately tested by the quarterbacks you go up against and how you can defend those quarterbacks. You played Daniel Jones three times this year. You played Cooper Rush. The numbers to me are a little bit inflated based off the quarterbacks and schedule that they've played. I think Philadelphia is a very capable defense. You've got multiple guys that can get after the quarterback. You've got some ball hawks at corner, guys that can make plays. They just haven't been tested against a team nearly as talented as Kansas City. Think about the best offenses that were in the league this year. We just didn't really see them go up against very many of them over the course of the season. So that's a big thing for me in this game as well. I think you can run on Philadelphia. They're middle of the pack in terms of rush defense. They gave up about 125 yards a game on the ground. This is a game in which I think the Chiefs can remain balanced, and this doesn't have to turn into a game in which Mahomes has to throw it 40, 45, 50 times in order for them to win. I think the Chiefs can stay disciplined. I think they can use the run game. I think they're going to be able to utilize the screen game here. I'm confident in the Chiefs' ability to be able to move the ball and score against Philadelphia. I do like the over. I do think that both teams are going to be able to score. I do think that both teams are going to be able to move the ball. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be able to run the ball pretty successfully against Kansas City. I don't think that Kansas City has a defensive line where they're going to be able to completely neutralize the run game of Philadelphia. I've seen a couple of texts so far this week, and it's like, well, hey, it's simple. We just got to play them like they're Baltimore. That's much easier said than done. It ain't that hard from a logic standpoint of what you need to do to beat Philadelphia. It's, do you have the resources? Do you have the talent to go out there and do it? They got the best offensive line in the league. We're talking about a defensive line that has a lot of playmakers on there. You got to win the point of attack. And what really impressed me in the game against Cincinnati was I thought Kansas City won both sides of the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively, especially defensively. I thought their defensive line came out and set the tone and tempo for that game really early on. I thought they said it really early. We're going to get after you. We're going to be relentless. And the pressure is going to come from different places. I mean, Willie Gay Jr. got a sack. We saw a couple of different guys making plays in the backfield. I thought the tone was set pretty early on by their defensive line. They're going to need to replicate that success or have an impact on the game. We had Dana Hughes in earlier, and I told him, I think Frank Clark needs to force a sack in this game. I think we need to be able to point to an offensive possession from Philadelphia, and we say that that possession was stopped because Frank Clark made a play. It doesn't have to be a sack on third and five. It can be a sack on first and 10 that now makes it second and 17. Your odds of converting a first down in that scenario are very, very low. Like, if you get a sack on a possession, what the percentage is of your team scoring on that drive, as you would imagine, change drastically. I think there needs to be a drive that we say this was a Frank Clark drive. You remember, he had that drive against Jacksonville. He blew up the screenplay. He got tripped by their left tackle. Then he got a sack on that play, forced a punt. I think you're going to need that kind of effort in this game from him.
Real quick, though, and I agree. Frank Clark, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, if I'm going to cheat, I'm going to take both. But couldn't you argue in the playoffs, this playoff run, where Frank has been great and made those plays, he hasn't seen an O-line like Philly. He hasn't seen guys like Lane Johnson yet. He's seen a solid but not great Jags offensive line, and he's seen a bad Bengals offensive line. The level of competition has raised about seven levels for Frank. He has to rise with it, or we're going to be talking about Frank Clark games as a thing of the past. He has to have the game Von Miller had against the Chiefs earlier this year. He has to have that sort of impact. He can't just get a one, oh, by the way, sack on Jalen Hurts. He has to be consistently a problem.
I agree. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. Text line 913-586-7610. Jalen Hurts' last five games, he has four touchdowns and three interceptions as a passer. I mean, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are not going to beat you with their arm. Like, that is not their offense at all. Not at all. They're just going to run the ball super effectively. And, I mean, in the last two games, they just haven't really needed much from their quarterback. I mean, they beat the Giants 38-7. They beat San Francisco 31-17. I mean, Jalen Hurts threw it 25 times in the NFC Championship game, 24 times in the divisional round. He's thrown the ball for less than 300 yards in their two playoff wins. They just haven't really needed him to do a whole lot. I wouldn't underestimate Jalen Hurts in this game. I don't think he is a great passer by any means. He's been accurate this season, and they've used a short pass game, and he is one of the most dangerous runners of the football in the National Football League. He had 800 yards rushing this year and 13 touchdowns. So you're right. He is not going to be the guy that puts up the big passing numbers. You're right. Only had 22 touchdown passes. He had 13 rushing touchdowns. That's 35 touchdowns he accounted for this season. I would not underestimate Jalen Hurts in this game, especially with that offensive line. The Chiefs have not seen a team that can run the RPO game as effectively as they have, probably since the Ravens 3 years ago. I don't know if there's been a team that runs the RPO as effectively as Philadelphia does since those Ravens team back in, 2008, 2019. So I wouldn't just be going off the passing numbers by Jalen Hurts and discrediting the fact that he was one of the 10 best rushers in the National Football League this year.
I also think it's worth noting, and Mitch pointed this out earlier, the Chiefs and Eagles played last season. That happened. And it was a track meet. It was 42-30. Now, the Chiefs won, and that's all that matters. But an Eagles team that wasn't as seasoned, wasn't as weapon heavy, and was the first year coach put 30 on the Chiefs. Now it's a different Chiefs, different Eagles, I know. But the last time these two teams faced off each other, the Chiefs did not shut down the RPO game. They didn't hold them to none. They gave up 30. Now, conversely, the Eagles defense was much worse then and couldn't stop a nosebleed. But the Chiefs, the last time they faced an RPO attack to this level was probably this team, and they gave up 30.
Yeah, I don't take anything from last year's game on either side.
Zero. Nothing
I don't take anything
all.
From last year's game. I think the Eagles are a draft. The Eagles last year shouldn't have made the playoffs. Like, the Eagles were not a playoff team last year. I know they made the playoffs. They were the seventh seed, but we've seen how that seventh seed, it's just a money grab by the National Football League. I don't take anything from last year's game. I don't take anything by what we saw from Jalen Hurts last year. I think he is a drastically different player. They didn't have A.J. Brown on their team last year. Devontae Smith was a rookie last year. So I don't take anything from last year's matchup. That's not something that I plan on referencing next week. Maybe other people do. I can't tell you what stats to look at or what stats to not look at. I don't take anything from the Kansas City side. Their offense is drastically different than the last time these two teams played. Philadelphia is a drastically different team this time than the last time they played. Their matchup last year in September just has no value to me when they've played, 30 games between these two teams since then? Like, I'm not really putting a whole lot of stock in what we've seen last year. I think these two teams are incredibly even. So I've done a lot of radio interviews so far, as you would imagine, just, you know, people want the Kansas City perspective of the Super Bowl. I was watching ESPN, and they had that ESPN FPI, I think it's like Football Predictive Index or whatever, and it was 50-50 on both sides. I think you can make strong cases for Philadelphia winning this game. I think Philadelphia is the more talented team between the two. Like, if we do a tail of the tape and we say offensive line, run game, I think Philadelphia would win more of those than Kansas City. I think you could make a why Philadelphia will win this game argument. I think you can make the same passionate argument for Kansas City. I think these two teams are incredibly even. The reason I'm picking the Chiefs in this game is I think it's going to be a close game. Vegas thinks it's going to be a close game. It's a 1.5-point spread. I think this game is going to be close with 8 minutes to go. And in that situation, I'd rather stand beside Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. If those are my two options, if you're telling me, and that's what Vegas is telling me, that they think this is going to be a 27-24, 30-28 football game, I'd much rather be on the side of Patrick Mahomes than be on the side of Jalen Hurts. That's the tiebreaker to me in this matchup between two teams that I think are incredibly even. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, also on the Odyssey app.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I just saw a tweet come across my timeline. Let's talk about it here really quickly before we get you out of here for the weekend. And we got a lot of fun stuff planned for next week. Really excited for next week's show. These are the projected contract numbers for Lamar Jackson. 5 years, $260 million, $208 million in total guaranteed. Absolutely not. I love Lamar. I think Lamar is incredibly fun. I think Lamar is an incredibly dynamic player. I got all the respect in the world for Lamar Jackson's skill set. You are crazy if you give Lamar Jackson that contract knowing his injury history. It is not a good contract for you. It is a great contract for him. It is a terrible contract for you. He battled with injuries in 2018. You remember that first year where Lamar couldn't finish games, Rob, because he was hurt? So 2018, he dealt with injuries, and he has been unable to finish the last two seasons. He has faced injuries in three of the five seasons that he has been in the National Football League. I'm willing to pay Lamar Jackson. I'm not giving you $200 million. I don't trust that you can finish the year. Lamar Jackson is putting up great stats in October. That ain't when you make the playoffs. Now, you can miss the playoffs in October. You can't make the playoffs in October. No, thank you. 5 years, $260, $208 million guaranteed? Wouldn't be me. If I'm Baltimore and that's the number, I'm sorry. No, thank you. I can't do it. I don't trust your body to hold up. He's dealt with injuries in 3 of the 5 years. He's been unable to finish the last 2 years. He hasn't been able to play in December. Hasn't been able to play in January. His team had a playoff game this year, and he wasn't physically able to play in the game. I'm giving that guy $208 million guaranteed. I can't guarantee he's going to be on the field. Absolutely not. You can have him. Miami, you want him? Atlanta, you want him? That is a contract that you will regret if you sign Lamar Jackson to that deal. That is a bad contract for the team. Great for Lamar. Get your coin. Get paid, young brother. Get paid. I don't want nothing to do with that deal, Rob. Nothing to do with it.
I don't know if he's getting that deal from Baltimore. I imagine there is a team.
Someone will give it to him.
I don't know that Baltimore. I think Baltimore is a very smart, well-run organization with a great coach. I don't think organizations that are well-run, smart, and have a good coach give out that contract to Lamar. I'm not saying you don't give Lamar a contract at all. And me and you have disagreed about running quarterbacks, but for that number, no. Now, there will be a team that does it, so I think if you're the Ravens, you tag him and trade him, or you just walk on him outright. But if that's the number, no thanks. Is it Eric DaCosta as their GM? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's a great offer for me to turn down. Politely decline.
What would it take for you to go see 80 for Brady? Like, let's say right now that you go home. Your girlfriend's there, you know, she's looking cute. And she says, hey, it's been a while since we've gone out. You're like, sure, what do you want to do? I don't have anything to do tonight. You know, there's no college basketball tonight. I don't know what you guys have planned, but let's just say that the night is free. And she says, hey, let's go to the movies. It's been a while. I saw that 80 for Brady trailer, and it seems really interesting to me. What do you tell her today, Rob, if that happens?
Oh, we missed the screening. Because I'm not spending American currency on that. We missed the free one, so we're not going.
You're telling me, you're telling her no?
Telling her no.
She looks at you and says, I want to go see 80 for Brady.
Nope.
I love Sally Field. She should have won Best Supporting Actress in Forrest Gump. You're turning her down?
You can pick any restaurant in the city, and I'll pay for it. Hey, if this is a prime social kind of night, and it's going to hurt my bottom line, that's the name of the game. But no, we are not seeing 80 for Brady. Uh-uh.
Okay.
What would it take for you if someone was like, hey, man, let's go see 80 for Brady?
I'd watch it at home. I wouldn't go to the theater to see
that
movie.
Yeah, but in the scenario, you have to go to the theater. It's one thing if it's like a lazy Tuesday in like April and you're like, oh, it's on HBO Max. Let's laugh at this.
I'm not opposed to watching it at home. I'm opposed to going to the movie theater to see it. The other person would have to pay for a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like a nice dinner. I ain't talking Outback. I ain't talking Texas Roadhouse.
I'm talking Eddie and V's. Eddie and V's.
I'm talking Hereford or better.
Hereford's the basement?
Hereford or better, yeah. Hereford or better. Our tab is $100. That's the baseline. The baseline is $100 for whatever wherever we're about to eat. That's what it would take for me to go see that movie in the movie theater.
And they're paying for tickets. You're not.
I mean, I don't mind paying for the tickets in that scenario, but I just know on the back end we about to go eat after this. Yeah, sure, I'll go see 80 for Brady. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure it's not the worst movie I've ever seen. I've certainly seen worse.
You think it's better than Midsummer or whatever it's called? Midsummer?
Oh, I think I would like 80 for Brady more than I liked that movie, yeah. I think I'd like it more.
Because that's the movie you walked out of, right? That's the
only time I've ever walked out of the movie. I mean, there should have been other times I should have walked out of the movie. I hated This Is 40.
I don't get why you hate that movie. It's funny. It's bad to me. It's just a peak Judd Apatow movie. It's funny for like 90 minutes, and then it's like sad for an hour.
Sucker Punch was an awful experience.
That's just not your genre. I could have told you that.
It was so bad. I'm trying to remember if it was The Fog or The Mist. One of those two movies I saw in the theater were god-awful. And there was one movie with Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. It was called like Wonderlust, I think the name of it was. Terrible. Terrible movie. I talked to Paul Rudd one time. We actually talked about Wanderlust. And he was like, yeah, no one seems to like that movie because it's not good. Because it was terrible.
You had time to talk to Paul Rudd and you brought up his worst film?
Yeah, this is when I was just asking anything to celebrities. I was reckless when I was younger. I just was asking them.
Hey, man, Wanderlust stunk. What's the deal?
Yeah, I remember he called in to talk to Nick, and I talked to him for like 2 minutes on the phone. I was like, hey, I'm a really big fan. I love 40-Year-Old Virgin, but Wanderlust, I just went to go see it. I wasn't a big fan. He started laughing. He was like, a lot of people have been telling me that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I was like, I'm going to tell you the truth, Paul. I remember one time that happened when Bubba Starling called. And I told Bubba Starling that his character was black on NCAA football. I remember what year it was. And he was like, cool. And I was like, I guess I'll just put you on hold then. You can talk to Nick here in a little bit.
Is that better or worse than the Iowa State guy not laughing at your joke?
The Bubba Starling one, like, I thought he would find some humor. Because you remember you could, like, insert the player's name into the game. And they would say it, like, Tebow, back to pass. Like, the Bubba Starling character was black. I thought he would find some kind of humor. And they're like, hey, your character. And he's like, cool. All right, man. That's as far as this conversation's gone. All right. We got a lot of stuff planned for next week, man. I'm really excited for next week. I appreciate you guys listening. Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend. And I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.